Welcome back to another great episode of Comedians in Bed, where comedians can be comedians. And I don't really know exactly what that means, but that sounds like something you should say on a podcast, man. I'm so grateful that we got our next guest on here today, man. She's got Ohio running through her veins as well, but right now she's doing her thing up there in the Windy City in Chicago, man. You might have seen her at Zany's. You might have seen her on Adult Swim. You might have seen her on a lot of things. If you haven't seen her, you're going to see her right here today. But then you're also going to see her in the future, because I definitely think that she's going to do big things and blow up. Please, everybody, please give it up for our next guest, Nina Kern, everybody.
Hello.
What's going on? How you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I like this whole, like, thing you got, your whole background. You look like you listen to a lot of Taylor Swift.
Is that just because I'm a white lady with blonde hair? Is that why I look like I listen to Taylor Swift?
I think it's the pink in the plants.
So this all belongs to my roommate. This is her work from home setup. She was like, you can use my desk, but then I couldn't fit my ring light behind her desk. So I was like, okay, it's going to have to be the background.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Making do what I got to do. That's what's up. Who is your favorite musical artist?
Ooh, that's hard. Well, according to Spotify Wrapped, last year it was Janelle Monáe. So
okay,
she was my number one last year.
I like Janae. According to my Spotify rap, if I still have it, I don't still have it in my phone. Do I not? That's crazy. No, I don't. I think it might have been I know SZA was on there.
She was in my top five.
Yeah, SZA was definitely in my top five. Now I have to find it, because if I don't, it's gonna bug me. Cool. My top artist is this guy named I don't know what you call them, like they're like producers and they make beats. It's this guy named Knowledge that I really listen to. I like a lot. I don't know, I like listening to like beats, just beats, no words. Because it kind of like calms down my anxiety and stuff like that. So
I like to listen to that when I'm like trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Because like if the music has words in it, I'm not gonna get anything done.
Right. Unless it's like old school music, then I can really vibe to it. Then I'll be like, all right, you know, maybe. But yeah, like current new stuff, like, nah, I'm not going to be able to.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you're from Ohio, man. Okay, Ohio, like, I should have thought that in the intro. You're from the 330, you're from Akron?
I am. I'm originally from Akron.
Yeah, that's what I remember you had mentioned that, and I had talked to you about it, and I told you I was from Youngstown. You know, have you ever been there? I know it's not too far, but have you ever been to Youngstown?
Yeah, I actually did a show in Youngstown. When was that? November? Yeah, it was November. It was at the bowling alley. What the heck was that place called? I was at a bowling alley, and it was like a bowling alley, an arcade, and then like downstairs, it looked like a concert venue.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, but it was a cool venue and the show went really well. But yeah, I've been to Youngstown before. I haven't spent like a ton of time there, but I've been there.
Yeah. I think when I did go to YSU, I don't think I ever went to Akron that much. The closest I ever went to Akron was definitely Kent. But then I stopped going after I went to, like, you know, everybody go there for the Halloween and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen a girl get hit by a car, and I was like, all right, I don't want to come here no more.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
I know. You always be like, what happened afterwards? You know, you always go to Twitter, and they, you know, Twitter killed her so fast, but I don't really know if she lived or not. But
oh my gosh. Yeah. unfortunately, that sounds like a Kent State Halloween. That sounds pretty on brand for them.
When did you leave Ohio?
So I actually went to Kent State until 2014, and then I transferred schools and I went to a school in Nashville. So I left in 2014, lived in Nashville for a little bit, graduated, bounced around a little, and then I moved to Chicago early 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't been back since. Why haven't you gone back?
I mean, I've come to visit, but to live, I probably won't come back to live. My goals don't really align with like the area, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Despite my grandmother really wanting me to move back.
Does she want you to come back and start a family?
I'm like, with who? With who? Honestly, at this point, if she found me some like super rich man who had like a super nice house in Hudson or something, yeah, I'd consider it. I'd be like, I don't gotta work. All right.
Does your family like I guess it's different for me. I'm a guy. My family don't really put pressure on me to start a family, but with you being a woman, do they put like pressure on you to be like, all right, like how much more are we going to do chase these dreams that you have?
Honestly, they don't really pressure me that much because I think that they know that it's not going to happen. They're like, when I turned 30, after I turned 30, I think they were like, oh, she's for real not going to do this. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And then my brother and all my cousins, almost all my cousins have had kids or they're married. So.
Yeah.
They've given up on me.
Yeah. yeah, man. I like it. I like it a lot. Like, you know, having that freedom to do whatever you want with no kids, significant other around us is really a fun time.
Yeah, I work with children, and I just could not come home to one at this point. Like, to be 100% honest with you, like, if I had to, like, work a full day and then come home to children,
Yeah.
It's absolutely not happening.
If I had to come home to a pet, I don't think I could. I don't think I could do it, nah.
My roommate has a pet, but, like, she's not my responsibility. I just get to,
I like pet how you said her. That. My roommate has a pet.
And I get to love her.
If is this really a dog?
Needs to help her, I can help her. But
is this a dog or a cat?
It's a dog.
Okay. All right.
She's an
That's more responsibility. What kind of dog is it?
It's a mixed breed. It's like husky, and then she has told me, but I don't. It's got some other. It's got other things.
Husky.
In it.
Is it howling at night?
Huh?
Is it howling at night?
No, okay. She's older. She's 10, so she's super chill.
Okay.
I think I've heard the dog bark 10 times the whole time we've lived here. She's great.
She's the best third roommate ever.
She literally is. She's so excited to see me every time I walk in the door.
Yeah. So did you start doing comedy in Chicago, or did you start in like a different scene?
No, actually, when I moved to Chicago, the original plan and goal was I'm going to live here for 3 to 5 years. I'm going to build up my acting resume. And then I'm going to make a decision to move to New York or LA. And then about a year and a half-ish after I moved here, I started doing comedy. And then I started comedy in the fall of 2019. And then 2020 hit. And there was really no acting jobs. I was doing comedy on Zoom. And so the pandemic kind of threw off my trajectory, but also starting comedy kind of threw off, I don't want to say it threw off my trajectory, but it kind of made me like reevaluate and kind of decide what my goals actually were and make some changes. So eventually I will make a move. I just, I'm not quite ready yet.
Yeah. So was it like an acting coach that told you to get into like comedy, or was it just like, let me try this creative space out as well?
No. So I actually always kind of wanted to do comedy. I wanted to try stand up. I had been doing some improv right before the pandemic. Improv's really not my thing. Like, I've tried to make it my thing. It's just not, I have fun doing it, but like not to pursue. But I had been doing improv. I was like, let me try stand up. I tried stand up for the first time in 2018. I felt like I did horrible. I was like, I'm awful at this. Then in 2019, a coworker and I went to a comedy show and people were like really bad. Like they were really bad. And so then I was like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm this good. So I started doing comedy because of that.
Actually, I don't know the word to use. So I guess I'll just say like I envy you like in a good way, because you you act, yeah, you find time to act and do comedy. Like, how do you find time to do that? Because, like, you know, you might be getting ready for a comedy show, but then like an audition might come in, so you have to drop preparing your set to like learn new lines. Like, how do you balance the two?
Well, I will say that, so this year I've really taken a step back from acting. I got COVID in January, and I have been dealing with like long haul COVID ever since then. So this year I've taken a really big step back from acting. I've done a couple small things, like just some extra work. But so I haven't really been auditioning as much this year. Prior years, basically, like, I just had to like fit it in. If I had a show and then I got an audition, like, I know this isn't really helpful, but like, I had to figure it out. And if that meant that, like, I go to my show and I leave right out, I would maybe have to leave right after my set and then go home and film the audition and just do it that way. Or if I had planned on going to an open mic and then I got an audition and I needed to get that audition done, I would just skip the open mic, to be honest with you. I kind of had to like look at my priorities and go, okay, like, which one do I want to do? Like, which one's more important? Which one do I want to do more? And then, I mean, to just be completely frank, the acting audition, like, to potentially get the acting job usually was more important to me because it would potentially pay. Comedy, you don't make a lot of, you don't really make a very, you very rarely are making money or any substantial money doing comedy until you start getting bigger. And so, you know, this acting job, if I get this commercial or if I get this short film, you know, it can be $1,000 or it can be, you know, however much. So that would kind of take priority for me. But you just kind of got to fit it in whenever you can. I mean, there are definitely times I was recording auditions at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and yeah.
I'm sure my neighbors underneath me at that time were very annoyed with me. But
yeah. Yeah. I'll be like, sometimes I would like get an audition, like try to fit it in before a mic and whatnot. And then I'll like send it in and I forget that I recorded it the wrong way. Instead of like horizontal, I recorded it vertical. And I'm like, all right, I'm not doing it again. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. I still got this blue screen here that I have not used. Cause I just,
oh, you gotta get your blue screen set up.
Yeah.
That'll change the game.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, what I mean is like, I haven't used it yet because I just haven't auditioned for anything yet. Like, I just been lazy. I'll just put it that way. But I'd be exhausted.
Well, I take mine down and put it up whenever I have an audition because I just don't have space for it. To just leave it up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not that tall. So like, when I do put it up, I don't even need that much space, but yeah, I'll be seeing you. I'll be like, dang, bro, like, how does she do this? Like, cause you look pretty busy, like, you know, all day. Like, you know, you got a 9 to 5, you got to try to learn lines, and then you might be trying to write jokes and stuff. I'm like, man, that's a lot. That's a lot for a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I did an audition the other day, and I hadn't done an audition in so long. It took me forever. And I think I spent like 2 or 3 hours by the end of it all, like after editing and like all that stuff. And I was like, if I don't get this, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And then I didn't get it. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. All that, that was a whole Friday night.
And like, how are you
the game, but it's like, dang.
Yeah. Like, how are you processing this? Like, when you like, okay, I got this audition, but I also got this show tonight, okay, so I'm gonna do this audition, and then I'm after the audition, are you worried about the audition, or are you just straight focused on, like, you know, the comedy afterwards?
You know, right afterwards, you know you're not gonna hear back. You're not gonna hear back for several days, or if you ever hear back, a lot of times they won't even let you know. So I try not to worry about it that night, to be honest with you. Once it's been like 3 days, then I'm like, wonder what's happening. Yeah. But right afterwards, I'm a little more focused on my show. I'm not really concerned about not that I'm not concerned, but I try not to let the audition eat at me, if that makes sense.
Do you have like big representation or a little representation? And does like doing comedy help you with, you know, like certain gigs that they might try to offer you or sign you up for, or might put, like, try to audition you for?
So actually right now I don't have representation. That was a goal for this year that didn't end up happening, mainly because of health reasons. I was like, I cannot submit to a bunch of agencies and get representation when I cannot deliver.
Right.
So hopefully next year I'll be able to get some representation. Hopefully my health will be good enough that I will be able to handle being on set again.
So, bro, like, are you still dealing with it? Like, how does, like, wh how are you still dealing, like, what effects are you still dealing with from it?
My heart rate has increased a lot. So they put me on a medication to like slow down my heart rate. And then I get really easily fatigued, and like body aches, stuff like that. I've also been having like cognitive issues. So like sometimes when people talk to me, I don't know what they're saying to me. I get really bad brain fog. And then sometimes like I'll slur my words. So there's been a lot that's happened. Luckily now at this point, I've gotten a lot better at managing my symptoms. So it's not as detrimental to my everyday life as it was at the beginning of the year. But I have some doctor's appointments actually coming up in the beginning of January to hopefully like help with the symptoms I'm currently dealing with. And then hopefully I'm pretty hopeful that by next year I'll be a lot better.
Yeah, I'm like, so how long are you supposed to like suffer from this? Like, or is it just like to go to the doctor and just to be like, okay, you got it, you don't, or is it like a medication and solution?
We don't know.
Oh, that sucks.
Like the med that they have me on right now is just to like help me with my symptoms, but like it's not a cure by any means. And unfortunately, with long COVID, there is no cure right now. And so it's just all about managing your symptoms. Because I know somebody who's had it for 3 years now. Now, granted, she was a lot worse. She never was vaccinated because she got COVID like right when it first hit. Like she was never vaccinated. She didn't have. There were really no answers for a really long period of time. Now we know a little bit more, but we definitely don't have a cure, and it looks different for everybody too. That's the other thing that's hard when treating it, is that it looks different for everybody.
How's that affected you, like on stage, like when you're performing and stuff, like, you know, like with pacing yourself and whatnot?
Yeah, so there have been times like I was hosting an open mic one night, and I was actually at Laugh Factory, and I was like, I gotta be 100% honest with you. I cannot go up and down off the stage 100 times tonight. I can't do it because like I just couldn't physically do it. So they just luckily they're really good at working with you there. They're really kind and understanding. And like I've already I've established myself there enough that they know I'm not messing around. They know I'm not like faking it or whatever. And so they were like, oh, we'll just give you the God mic and you can just announce. There have been times, I mean, more often than not, there is a stool on stage. So if I really needed to sit down, I could sit down. If it is a longer set, like I have to increase my fluid intake is one of the things that I have to do. So I typically, if it's like longer than 10 minutes, I bring water on stage with me. I mean, that's pretty standard anyway, just because your throat gets dry. But yeah, there have definitely been times where like I think luckily adrenaline kicks in enough where
Okay.
like because I've been off stage, but like there have been times where I have a show and I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. Like
Yeah.
I literally like I don't know how I'm gonna do this. And
That's
then I
crazy.
get on stage and I'm able to pull it together for however long my set is. And I just truly think that that's just adrenaline, because then afterwards I'll crash.
Dang, man, if we had like a union, you could collect like disability right now or something like that.
I would love to collect disability. Unfortunately, I have a full-time job.
What about that with the job and working? Like, are you
Some days
more
it's really
chill?
hard. Some days
Yeah.
it's really hard. But like luckily, I've gotten a lot better with managing my symptoms. Like if I don't like even today, I was driving back from Ohio. I felt like there was a point where I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna make this drive. But then like drinking electrolytes is something that like I have to do every day. I finished my electrolytes and I was like, oh, I'm fine. So like every single day, because I work at a school, every single day I have a water bottle that I take electrolytes in and I drink it by noon, and then I'm usually like okay. But
so electrolytes are saving the day.
they literally saved my life because I had to cut out caffeine and like they will wake me up. So instead of drinking coffee, I drink liquid IV. I know that sounds insane. But
That's weird. You did this drive by yourself?
yeah.
Oh, heck, you know. How long is that drive?
It's a 6 hour drive.
Okay. From where I'm
It's not
from, it's from where
that
I'm
bad.
from is like an hour and a half, a little bit.
Yeah, it'd probably
I
be.
said an hour and a half. I'm so high. My fault. 5 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, because you guys are like right around the
Yeah.
right up top.
But you got really a straight shot. Like, don't you just go down I-80?
I went down 90 in 94.
Okay.
I took the toll road because
Yeah, that's a straight shot.
it'll take like an extra hour if you don't take the toll road. I'm not trying to do that. I will pay to save. I'll pay to save the hour.
Okay. Well, I hope the health definitely turned around. One of the questions I like to ask is like, what have you learned about yourself, like as a comedian, since from when you first started doing comedy to like where you are now?
I've definitely learned that I do think like having my acting background helps with this, but like this is gonna sound really cheesy, but like I've learned to not give up. 'Cause there's definitely times where like, and you know this, you go up and you bomb and you're like, what the heck am I doing? Or you just like you do a show and everybody on the lineup is not very good, and the whole show is just like not very good. And you're like, what? Why am I doing this? What am I doing? And then you have goals and you know what you love to do. Like, I love doing comedy. Like, if it weren't for comedy right now, I don't even know. Like, I would be so miserable, especially like with all the health stuff that I've had this year. Like, comedy is like the one thing that has gotten me through this year because it's the one thing that I enjoy that I'm still able to do. And so, you know, there's been plenty of times where I'm like, what the heck am I doing? But then I don't give up. So I guess either I'm delusional or I've learned not to give up. Or maybe both. I don't know.
Well, shoot. I would say not give up. I guess I would say like I didn't realize I was this version of me until I started being it, I guess. You know, I guess sometimes like just you be in life and situations happen like and you just be like, dang, I didn't know I could be this way. Like not in a bad way, but like, you know, I didn't know I could show up in this way. I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's plenty of times that like you have a shit day and then you have a show and then you're like, I signed up for this and I have to go. Now,
Yeah.
obviously, there are circumstances that don't go, like don't go to the show. But there's plenty of times where I've done it. I know I've done it. Like, I remember one time I was hosting Laugh Factory open mic, and the guy I was seeing broke up with me 45 minutes before the show started. And I was like upstairs in the green room, and he like texted me and broke up with me, and I was like crushed. And then I like, I was crying, and then I pulled it together and I went and I hosted the show. And it's like, yeah, I said I would do this. You know what I mean?
Wait, was he in a, you said he was in the audience?
No, he wasn't in the audience.
Oh, okay. Because I would
If he had been in the audience,
he would have got cussed out.
I'd have been like, you gotta go. Why are you here?
I think I had an open mic. I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny. It's not funny. It's not. But I had an open mic, and my sister had called me and told me that my sister died, and I went on stage, and then I left. You know, where I should have just went home, but I was like, nah, I'm gonna
So
go do
that's a situation where I would say just leave. I think people dying, you can go home.
I just thought about it like, dang, dog, you really should have just left. But like, I had already put my name on the list. So I was like, second. I was like, I'm gonna just wait it out.
Just you're go. Like, well, she's dead either way. She's I guess. Dead.
Like, she's dead, bro. I think maybe because like it wasn't unexpected. Like, it wasn't like she was in a hospital. We was like expecting her to die. But like, the last time I had seen her, I was like, yeah, she gonna die. So so I was like, when they told me, I was like, all right.
Oh my yeah, God.
I'll be there. I'll be there in like 30 minutes.
You're like, let me just like work this bit out really quick and then I'll be there.
You know what? That is funny. I'm going to write that down. That is a bit.
That is a bit. Write that down. Oh my God.
Oh man. Does that ever happen to you? Like where you think of something and then you think it's funny and you just have to write it down? I mean, obviously we're comedians, but like where is like probably like the strangest place that has happened to you? He's like, oh my gosh, I gotta write this down.
The strangest place?
Yeah.
I mean, I probably do it in very inappropriate times all the time.
Yeah.
Like I'm with somebody, we're having a conversation. I'm like, that's a bit. And then I just like put it in my phone and then I go back to the conversation. Like I'm sure I've done it on a date before.
How do you stay? Yeah, that's a good question. How do you stay present? In moments like that, when you know, as comedians, we are I'm like a more of an observant comedian where I'll be like, oh, that's funny, and I'll write it down or something like that. So, how do you stay present with like family and friends or just loved ones when your brain is just creative at all hours of the day?
You know, I will go, let me write this down, I write it down, and then I go back to it later, which helps me stay present,
yeah. Oh, you don't forget it?
Not if I write it down. If I don't write it down, I will forget it.
Okay, you say you write it down, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just like put it in my notes app on my phone and then I'm like, okay, I'll go back to that later. Now there's a ton of stuff I have never gotten back to. And then it'll be like, if I typed in potential bit in the search bar of my notes app, there's going to be like 80 things. And maybe 5 of them have been thought out.
Yeah. My notes folder is it's a maze. Well, I've cleaned it up, but one day it got a little crazy.
Mine's bad. Ooh. Mine's really bad. I need to go through that.
Sometimes I force myself. Like, I know it's getting bad. Like. And whatever note I'm in, like it glitched when I try to like scroll up or scroll down. I'm like, all right, I got too much in here. Some of these jokes are not funny. Let's go through here and let's just give it up. Let's give it up. Like, all right, cool. Okay, so in Chicago. Now you keep talking about Zany's on my fault. The Laugh Factory. You're in the Laugh Factory. How did you like build and work that relationship up to the point that now you're in there regularly?
So I think one thing that I did that really helped me out that I didn't realize was helping me out was during the pandemic, I did a lot of Zoom comedy. I was doing Zoom comedy because frankly, I was bored and I didn't have anything else to do. And so I was doing Zoom comedy and then I think the right people saw that I was being active. And then the booker had reached out to me spring of 2021 when stuff, I apologize, reached back out in the spring of 2021 when things started opening back up again. And so that was how I initially got my in. And then because there were a lot of comedians in the city at that time who went home during the pandemic, there were a lot of people who were like not sure if they were going to come back and do comedy. So that situation gave me a lot of opportunity that I don't think I would have otherwise gotten.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And then I proved myself and then from there started getting more regular bookings.
Yeah. From Zoom comedy. Wow. Like, so I hear people talk about it all the time and how people were getting tired of it and whatnot. What was that like experience? Like, was this was everybody laughing at the same time or was the audience on mute? Like how does this work?
It depended. So like sometimes they would have the audience on mute and then sometimes like there was always a delay. Like no one would laugh like normal. Like it wasn't a live show. People wouldn't laugh as soon as your joke happened. There would be like a 3 second delay, and then you would have already started talking again because you were like, oh, no one thinks this is funny, and then people would start laughing. So yeah, it took a lot of getting used to. I remember the first time I did an open mic on Zoom, I was like, I'm not doing this again. And then I was just so bored that I was like, whatever, I'll do it again. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting time. I don't miss it.
So for the open mic online, like, were you guys just waiting your turn, just like just sitting, just all lined up below, just waiting your turn? Like,
we're all in the little audience, just waiting.
That is hilarious. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I hear people talk about it all the time, but I never watched it. During that time, I wasn't thinking about comedy at all. Okay, cool. How is it being in a club? Like, have you noticed like a difference like in your performance and in yourself?
Oh yeah. I mean, a club set is just completely different than a bar set. Or, you know, every space that you're in, it is a little bit different, and you kind of have to shape and mold to like that type of audience. I mean, and even in a club, not every audience is going to be the same. I definitely made mistakes or like had growing, like learning experiences when I first started out with like not paying attention to who was in the crowd and like not paying attention to the jokes prior of like, okay, they are laughing at really dirty stuff. Let me tell my dirtier jokes. Oh, they're not laughing at dirty stuff. Let me like go a little cleaner. Things like that. I mean, that's just like learning hurdles that anybody is going to have when they're first starting out. A big reason for that is because like you may not necessarily have, like, I know at least when I was starting out, I was like, I have a 10-minute set and I plan this 10-minute set and I cannot stray from it. At this point, I'm like, I've got X amount of material that I can pull from. I go in with an idea of what I'm going to do, but then I go, okay, what does my audience look like? Is it all or older people? Is it couples? Is it young people? You know, and then I can kind of shape and form what I'm going to do. But that's really for any room, not just the clubs.
Yeah. No, I get it. I when people do make that transition from bar shows, open mics, and get into the clubs, I do notice a significant difference. So yeah, that's why I asked to try to get like how your experience was. I really feel as like being in like class, like learning and stuff, I really feel like that's when you start to be like, okay, now I'm working, you know, you pay a little bit more attention to like your arrangement and your jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the second time I did the clubs, like the second time I was ever at a club, I have some jokes about, I have some jokes about dating a guy who's married, and everybody in the audience was a couple and they did not think it was funny. And then I have some pretty sexually charged jokes that then I told later that had always crushed and they bombed. And I was like, what the heck? Like, why did that joke bomb? Like, I was so confused. And then one of my friends was like, you just talked about taking their man and you went up there looking the way you looked. And now you're talking about squirting. And that girl's already pissed off at you. And now her man can't laugh because what if she's never squirted? And then she's going to be mad at him. And what? I was like, yeah. And so that's just like, I just remember that being like a huge learning moment for me where I was like, you have to look at your audience.
Yeah. I think about that before I leave. Like, I mean, if whatever happens, happens. But like, if I know I'm telling certain jokes, like, all right, I'll wear this outfit to try to like, you know, look the part, I guess, or whatever, you know, to get the laughs. Yeah, that is a lot. Yeah, you do got to look and pay attention to that type of stuff. Do you enjoy like doing comedy in Chicago?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And when you move to like different city, when you plan to move to LA or New York, do you still plan on doing comedy as well?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop doing comedy.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So when you do acting, do you want to be like a comedic actor or just whatever gig you have?
At this point, whatever they give me. Beggars can't be choosers. I will do whatever. I prefer comedic roles. Truthfully, I do. But if I book the job, I book the job. Like, I'm not gonna. Not gonna be picky.
No, I understand that. I definitely understand that. Yeah, that's what's up, man. And definitely doing that in Chicago and doing that here. Do you feel like you're everybody say enjoy the journey. Do you feel like you're on your path for your journey and you're like enjoying it, or is it like stressful and it's like, why the hell am I doing this?
I think there's I've definitely overall enjoyed it. Like, I truthfully love doing this. If I didn't truth if I genuinely did not love doing this, I wouldn't be doing it. Just 'cause like what why would I pour all this time, effort, energy, emotion into all this if I didn't truly love it and enjoy it? I will not lie and say that there aren't, especially this year, because of like my health setbacks, I feel like I've had to take a like last year, sorry. Okay, so 2021 to 20 to the beginning of this year, I felt like I had made a lot of strides, felt like I was going somewhere, felt like I was hitting a lot of goals. Like every goal I had made, I hit. And then this year, because of my health, I had a lot of setbacks. And so there, I'm not gonna lie, there was a lot of frustration this year. I've had a lot of jealousy this year. A lot of like, why are they getting booked and why am I not getting booked? And I know why I'm not getting booked. I'm not reaching out to bookers. I haven't been at mics as much because I haven't felt good. I, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, but overall, I am enjoying the journey. But that's not to say that there aren't times that I have setbacks. But that's part of the journey.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Hey, man. As long as my setbacks don't include kids, I'll be all right. That's how I see it. I mean, kids aren't a set. Well, sometimes they can be. I don't know.
That would be the ultimate setback. If I, listen, I live in a state that allows me to go up to 21 weeks. We can fix that mistake. We can fix that setback. That doesn't have to be a setback.
That is funny. That is funny. I think they changed it here, but I don't know. I don't know.
They
Here's the thing.
did.
Here's the thing about here. Like that, they'll like that and abortion got passed. I mean, weed and abortion got passed, but then they like, well, we want to amend the law so you could do this. So they're still trying to figure that part out. So I don't know. Hey, this is gonna work in our favor or not. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I could not believe it when y'all passed both.
Oh yeah, they was aggressive. They was
I was like,
aggressive.
wow, both in one day. We're making
It was
big strides,
aggressive.
Ohio.
It was
I was proud of
aggressive.
you all. I was like,
I was too, but then like as soon as they passed, like I don't know the amendments when it comes to the abortion, so I won't speak on that. But I do know like when it comes to the weed, like they wanted at first it was like 10% tax, but now they want to change it to 15, and then now. You know, they were like, well, we can't smoke outside, we can't smoke in our cars, we can't smoke in our, you know, in your place of residence unless the if the landlord doesn't want you to.
okay,
And
so all those same laws are in Illinois.
but they
They're
do it anyway.
not that well monitored.
Yeah.
Because like we're not allowed to smoke it in public either. And oh, you can smell weed everywhere you go in this city. And then like people are definitely smoking it in their cars. Your landlord will probably tell you not to, like, I'm not supposed to smoke weed in my apartment. I don't smoke because I have asthma. And so it's like not an issue for me. But like my last place I lived, the girl on the first floor, she would smoke that apartment out. Like I would bring people over and we would open the door to my building and they're like, it's loud in here. I'm like, it is. It's so loud in here.
We have somebody like that in our in my building. I think I'd be sometimes I think I'd be the loudest one. I'll be like, nah, I ain't got nothing on this dude right here, bro. He live on the second floor. He you can smell on the first and the third floor. I'm like, dang, bro.
There were times that I knew when she was smoking because I could smell it in my apartment. And I was like, dang. I'm like, girl, are you good?
That is funny, but that's good to know because every time I come to Chicago, I always like go to the pier and smoke. I didn't know you couldn't smoke outside.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to do anything about it. And then we are, I mean, I will say our dispensaries are like super heavily taxed, but I don't know what the percentage is off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of taxes. I won't lie to you about that one.
Yeah, I would say probably the highest one. I think the LA's not, I mean, LA's not bad. Detroit's definitely not, I mean, Michigan's definitely not bad. But yeah, they're trying to do 15 here, so we'll see. But yeah, I was definitely proud. It's a difference when you live. Do you feel the difference? Because like every time I go to a Democratic state, I can feel the difference as opposed to a conservative state. I'm trying to escape like you, man. I gotta get up out of here.
Yeah. When I was like driving home for Christmas and I saw that first Trump sign, I was like, I forgot y'all did this. Or like when I was in Indiana driving back, there's a sign that was like, save sex for marriage, like don't ruin your future, don't get an abortion. It was like all the same thing, and I was like, I forget you all, like I forget that this is a thing. I forget all of this.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you have. Have you ever seen the Hell is Real sign on I-71 South?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. That's Ohio for you. That's Ohio for you. But one thing I do love about Ohio has great comedians. You know, like Cat Williams, like Dave Chappelle, we claim him too. You know, the list goes on and on. And with that, like, who is on your Mount Rushmore for comedy?
Ooh, like Mount Rushmore. That feels like higher stakes. Usually people go, who are your favorite comics? And I'm like, I can name my favorite comics, but my Mount Rushmore? So this person actually isn't stand-up, but one of my biggest idols and influences is Lucille Ball. I don't know if you've ever seen I Love Lucy, but she's like, my grandma made me watch that show all the time growing up, and I love that show. It's one of my favorite shows. And she is definitely on my Mount Rushmore. Like, that woman made me want to do comedy. She made me want to be a comedian. She made me want to be an actor. Yeah, she's definitely on my Mount Rushmore. Some of my other favorites, though, would include, like, Michelle Wolf, Michelle Berteau. I love Nikki Glaser. I actually think Nikki Glaser and I have a very similar comedic style to Nikki Glaser. I like to think, anyway. I love April Macy. Yeah, those are some of my favorites.
Okay. Even when we do have women on this show, like, they don't really say a lot of women comics. We don't have enough of people that put women comics on the route much more, me included. I'm not gonna lie.
Even at this point, it's still a male dominated. It's getting better. But, like, even in a big city like Chicago, there's a lot of times I'm the only woman on the lineup. And that's just, it's changing. But it's still predominantly male.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
What words of encouragement would you give to anybody that's listening to this right now?
I mean, in any aspect, if you are just following any dream, just keep going. There's definitely times where I second guess myself and I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, like I could have been a nurse. I could be like, you know, I could have steady income, but if you've got a dream, just keep following it, because there are going to be these tokens and these like milestones that you hit. And I mean, personally, like anytime I get an audience to laugh, like I get so much joy and so much adrenaline, and, you know, there's something to be said for succeeding in your passion and succeeding in your goals. And, you know, it is worth it to keep pursuing it.
Message.
Nina, tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed.
You should listen to this show because you can gain knowledge. It's funny. And what are you doing anyway? Listen to it.
Boom. Mind to tell people where they can meet you at.
Yeah. So on all social media platforms, my handle is at I am Nina Kern. That's NINAKERN. I also have a podcast that I host with comedian Kishan Bachelador. He does improv, though. He's not a stand-up. And our podcast name is White Collars, Red Hands. It is available wherever you get your podcast. And we are in the top 2% of podcasts. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, and I forgot we did not talk about that. Like, let's talk about that quick, a little bit more. Like, what do you guys like discuss on there? And like, how long have you guys been doing it?
So we started the podcast in October of 2020. It was great. So Kishan and I worked together at a restaurant, and he was like, "Hey, I've got this podcast idea. I really want you to do this with me," because we would like banter back and forth at work. We were friends. We weren't super close, but like we were friends at work, and we really like have good conversation. And so he's like, "I want you to do this podcast with me." So it is about white collar crime. I knew nothing about white collar crime, and I still know very minimal things about white collar crime. But we take a white collar crime story, we cover it, and then we've been doing it now for 3 years. We're about to start our 14th season. So, yeah.
Okay, that's what's up. You can listen wherever you stream podcasts at.
Yep, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I don't remember. I can't think of anything else right now where you would listen to a podcast, but we're on YouTube too. We have video on YouTube. So join our YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube, because the more followers, so we can actually make some money off of YouTube ads.
Man, if you want to learn more about white collar crime, go ahead, check it out.
And we do a fun spin on it. Like, yeah, it's not all like, I know that sounds boring, but it's not just like, oh, here's like all this stuff about taxes. Like, no, we do some really fun stories. We do have some serious stories. Every season finale, we do a murder. So it's fun. I always say it's super dumb stuff on there. So
no, it sounds really, really interesting. I'm really, really interested in it. People love all that crime stuff in America, man. So very, very, very good. Go ahead and check that out, man. And if you want to check out next week's episode, be sure to join our live stream every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at my YouTube channel at TYE Comedy. Or if you want to see weekly clips of the episode, you can go ahead and follow us on IG at Comedians in Bed Podcast. Be able to listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can go ahead and subscribe, man. Leave a rating and review. I want to thank my girl Nina for coming on the show here with us today. Be sure to follow her on all things social, and we'll see you guys next week.